Father, as we look at your word and we look at the ramifications of your word, we ask that you will guide our thoughts and lead us into truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. I specifically asked for that song, My Redeemer Lives. And I asked for that reading from Job so that you would know where that chorus comes from. And how it came out of the depths of Job's heart. I know that my Redeemer lives. Now, Job was going through a fairly torrid time. Job was being attacked in his body. And through his wife and his comforters, he was also being attacked in his spirit. But Job had a righteous soul. And Job's soul remained righteous before the Lord. Now, as I looked at this, God led me in another direction for today. He led me to look at some dictionary definitions. I didn't know I was going to have a couple of psychologists here in the congregation. The soul, the mind, will, and emotions. The mind, the definition in a human being, the element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, judges, etc. The intelligence, intellect, or understanding. In psychology, it is the totality of conscious and unconscious mental processes. The will, the faculty of conscious and especially deliberate action. The power of control that the mind has over its actions. The freedom of the will and emotions. An effective state of consciousness in which joy, sorrow, fear, hate, love, or the like is experienced. Does that describe the soul? I think it describes it pretty well. But we are not just a soul. We are soul, spirit, and body. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Genesis 2:7. "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul," or a living being. But the Greek word there is psuche, soul. And it's the infilling of the Spirit of God that made him a living soul. Now, the definition of spirit in the dictionary is the principle of conscious life. The vital principle in humans animating the body or mediating between body and soul. Spirit in the Greek is pneuma, breath, wind. But it's not what we think of as breath. It is the energy and the forces behind the breath, the wind. It is the substance of the energy. It's the life-giving principles. It's hard to explain, but it is what controls the breathing. It is the life that is in man. and body, the physical structure and material substance of an animal or plant, living or dead. That'll do for dictionary definitions. The breath, the pneuma, the spirit, made man a living soul in completeness and wholeness. The complete being, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now we move on a little bit. The woman saw that the tree was good for food. I'm skipping bits here because we know the word of God. We know the stories there. We know what it says. And that was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Temptation came through the area of the spirit, where the senses or sensations are. And the effect of that temptation was in the soul, rebellion, the will of man, and in the body, the death of man. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return, was the judgment upon man. The soul, however, lives on. It is eternal, and it is the soul that is judged and damned or saved. The mind, the will, and the emotions is what defines us. And that is what is saved. This body will die. It will decay. It will become dust. As it was made from dust, it will return to it. But it will be resurrected. John chapter 5. All these graves shall be opened. Some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. I'll have a new body. Praise God. It won't have a crooked back. That the soul lives on is evident in the parable in Luke 16. Parable of the rich man and Lazarus. They had both died. But the souls were alive and had an awareness of the presence of each other. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses, both dead in body, but alive in the soul. And they were recognized for who they were. There wasn't any introduction. This is Elijah, this is Moses. Peter knew who they were. The recognition was there of the soul. And in 1 Peter 3:19, we're told that Jesus went and preached to those who were disobedient, those souls who were disobedient during the time of Noah. Now, he couldn't preach to them if the soul didn't live on, could he? Jumping back to Samuel, 1 Samuel 28, the witch of Endor. When Saul goes to her to conjure up Samuel, she's actually allowed to see the soul of Samuel coming up, where Saul could not see him. Mark 12. Now about the dead rising. Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. The soul lives. Praise God. Now Job was under a heck of a lot of pressure. Satan had been given permission to attack him in his body. The purpose of which was to cause disruption in his spirit so that he may curse God and die. Job's wife and his comforters put pressure on him in his spirit to cause him to curse God and die. But his soul remained righteous before God. He cursed the day he was born, sure. He was pretty upset. But he remained true to God because he walked with God. Now, there's a couple of other things here that I'm just going to throw up in the air and see where they land. One thing that I will throw in, with man being created in the image of God, man is body, soul, and spirit. Is not God the Father the soul of God? God the Spirit of God? And God the body, the Son of God? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. I just throw that in for you to think on. It's out of left field. I want to look at temptation. Temptation comes in the area of the spirit, in the area of our senses. One of the biggest temptations around today is pornography. And that comes in the area of the spirit. Now, temptation is not sin. Let no one say, James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Thanatos, separation. Sin comes from the soul. Temptation comes through the spirit of man, but the response to temptation comes from the soul of man. It's an act of will. And it's that act of will that puts us in rebellion to God. Just think on that. Unforgiveness, which is the cause of a lot of sickness in the body, starts in the spirit and it affects both body and soul. Whereas forgiveness starts in the soul. It is an act of will. And forgiveness can go beyond the grave, because of the eternal nature of the soul. I saw a woman years ago who was suffering from cancer, and she forgave her father beyond the grave. And as she did that, I saw in the spirit the cancer just shrivel up. She died 6 months later. The autopsy showed the cancer had already gone, and it was the chemotherapy that took her out. Now this is 20 odd years ago, and chemotherapy was a lot different to what it is now. Jesus is the healer of the soul. Jesus dealt with healing of the soul first, and then healing of the body. Matthew 8, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He pronounced to the paralytic man, your sins are forgiven. That was healing of his soul and putting his soul in a right, restored relationship with God. Then the healing in the body could follow. Many times we see healing pronounced in the body only for the impediment to return. I'm talking about a lot of healing services, televangelists, etc., where there are mass healings, and a lot of documentary evidence is that the sickness returns. If the healing is in the soul and the healing follows in the body, it is not necessary that that sickness will return. I don't know how you feel about that, Dawn, but and in John, 3 John chapter verse 2, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Now, we carry impediments in our bodies. Some of them are natural aging. Some of them are self-induced damage. Like I damaged my back when I was 18 by holding a television up like this to put on the back of a ute and not having enough height and bending backwards. That's a self-induced damage. The healing that I have received from that is a healing that lasts about 8 years and comes back again. But God enables me to live with it. Paul had his thorn in the flesh, and he sought 3 times for God to heal him. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And sometimes it is necessary that way. If a person has a limb amputated, I don't see God growing a new limb in a hurry. You know, we are not like some animals, that where a limb is like a starfish, where a limb is cut off, a new one grows. We're not like that. God hasn't made us that way. But God wants us to, the word here translated prosper is probably better translated get along well, enjoy wellness, and be in health as your soul prospers. There's a dependence there upon the soul prospering, the soul being in wellness. And today I felt that that was where God wanted me to take this, that we look at the healing of the soul. That is of utmost importance. Because Jesus shed his blood to save our souls.